Welcome to Indian Spring Training Weekly on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Here's your host, Nick Camino.
Yes, it is Indian Spring Training Weekly, the final edition before the 2015 season gets underway a week from today. How about that? The Tribe gearing up for the season, making their final roster decisions, as well as making some funny videos. This should be a very fun season, and we got a great show lined up for you. Good evening. Nick Camino here with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Coming up, we've got so much to dive into. The Indians and the 29 other clubs around Major League Baseball, all of them busy finalizing their rosters and making sure their teams are ready to go for the start of the 2015 season. Tonight, we will hear from manager Terry Francona. He'll talk about some of those decisions that they have to make. Next segment, I'll be joined by Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports. And coming up a little bit later, Joel Hammond of the Cleveland Indians. He'll join us to tell us about some exciting things the Tribe has coming up, as well as a funny video that players, manager Terry Francona, and some front office folks all took part in. You'll want to stay tuned for this. We've got a great show lined up for you. I know our countdowns have been fun, but they're nearing an end, and that's always a good thing. We're exactly 1 week away from the Tribe opening up the 2015 season in Houston against the Astros. Heck, by this time next week, you'll be hearing Tom Hamilton and Jim Rosenhaus on many of these same radio stations calling Tribe baseball. It'll be about the fifth or sixth inning by now next week at this time. Can't wait for the season to get underway. And then don't forget, April 10th, it's opening day at newly renovated Progressive Field, the home opener, of course. The Tribe hosting the Detroit Tigers for a three-game weekend series. And I realize the tickets to the opener are gone. They sold out in, 11 minutes? But plenty of tickets still available for April 11th and April 12th. All of those games will be critical against the Tigers. Have you seen the Indians' schedule yet? Something like 17 of the first 21 games, I might be off a game or two, but something like 17 of the first 21 games are against teams from the AL Central. Think about that. What's that old saying? You can't win a division in April, but you can certainly put yourself in a position where you could lose it if you don't get off to a good start. I'd agree with that. A good start is paramount. And obviously, consistency is the main key. You want to be good over 6 months. But with some of the preseason expectations for this Indians club, both internally and externally, with some of the national attention from Sports Illustrated, Yahoo Sports, ESPN.com, the USA Today, you want to get off to a good start. You definitely do. All right, a lot to get into. Next up, Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports will join me. National baseball writer. He's one of the best in the biz, a guy who is also high on the Indians. Stay locked right there. News and notes from around Major League Baseball, as well as we always do. You won't want to miss any of this. It's the perfect opportunity for you to get your baseball fix in. 1 hour completely devoted to baseball. We love it. Nick Camino here with you. You're listening to Indian Spring Training Weekly, all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
I think we have a group of guys that, I know I've said this, but it's going to be fun to see how good we can get. Because nobody knows. But I think the glass is half full. You know, I mean, I think we have a group that, you know, regardless of what our record is, I think we're going this way. So that makes it exciting.
The 2-2 swung on and missed. Strike three. Kluber strikes out the side in the fifth. 9 strikeouts in the game for Corey Kluber. Start the season tomorrow for him.
The wind, the pitch. Strike three call. Boy, McAllister looks sharp. The 1-1. Knee-high strike. Right now, McAllister is just pounding the lower regions of the strike zone. He is really keeping the ball down, and he looks to have great life on his fastball. Now the 1-2 pitch to Ryan Braun. Breaking ball hit off the end of the bat weakly to the second baseman. Kipnis throws out Braun. Well, I'll tell you what, Zach McAllister is making a statement here today. 6 strikeouts in 3 innings of work.
I think we're situated really well. I think our core group of players, our younger players, though, the more they're getting comfortable. You know, you're talking about Brantley, Kluber, Cody Allen, Gomes, that group of players, the more they're comfortable, the better off we are. You know, when your best players are your hardest workers and your most conscientious guys, it's easy to send the message to the other guys, the younger guys coming up.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indians Spring Training Weekly on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, as promised, now joining us via our hotline, it's Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, national baseball writer, one of the best in the biz, a Northeast Ohio native, and grew up in my same hometown in Solon, Ohio, and I always love when we can catch up with him. Hey, Jeff, listen, we really appreciate the time.
Pleasure's always mine, Nick. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, all is well here, and it's always fun to catch up with you. And you know, Jeff, I'm ready for the season to be here. I've always said I always feel like spring training is maybe a week too long. The regular season might be even a little bit too long, but I'm just ready for baseball to get here.
I don't blame you at all. Spring training is definitely too long, and it's not too long because the media thinks it's too long. It's too long because the players think it's too long. And when the players at this point in spring just want to get out of where they are, even if it's warmer than where they're going to be playing, it tells you that, you know, the old spring training model where guys use spring training to get ready for the season just doesn't apply anymore. I mean, these days, guys come in camp practically ready, and you could be in and out within a month, and that would be completely satisfactory.
You wrote a piece last week. I really wanted to touch on this. You got into the new commissioner, Rob Manfred, and there's been some new rules and modifications to, you know, the 1 foot in the batter's box, the clock between innings. But your piece really focused on gambling in baseball and this whole Pete Rose situation. And even more than that, the fact that, you know, the NFL, they won't say it, but they almost embrace fantasy football and that type of stuff. The NBA, heck, their commissioner, Adam Silver, has gone out of his way to mention it. And he was on the cover of ESPN magazine saying, listen, it's here. We need to bring it out of the shadows. We need to be able to moderate it and look at it and police it. Major League Baseball, in I don't want to say a sticky spot, Jeff, but maybe a unique spot when it comes to some of this stuff, and especially the situation with Rose.
Yeah, and it is a sticky spot. I don't think that's exaggerating it at all, because baseball for decades upon decades has made gambling the number one evil. And as society's look on gambling has shifted. I mean, we have a casino in Cleveland, for goodness sake. That tells you to me exactly where baseball is in a tough position now, because I don't know that people necessarily look at what Pete Rose did as all that bad. And I think that's unfortunate, because if you're a manager and you are gambling on your own games, it doesn't matter if you gamble and bet to win every time. There were games Pete Rose didn't bet, which implicitly says, I don't believe my team's going to win. And if even an iota of your decision-making is affected by off-the-field stuff like gambling, that's a no-no right there. And so if Rob Manfred does, in fact, reinstate Pete Rose, it's a very, very large Pandora's box that he's opening by saying, well, you know, 25 years Pete Rose can be away from the game, but that's all you're going to get for gambling. And for a lot of guys, that's a big enough penalty to dissuade them. But some can say, hey, if I'm not going to be away from the game forever, then at least I know there's ultimately perhaps a way back in.
Jeff, I don't know about you, but Rob Manfred, this new commissioner, he's kind of taken the bull by the horns early on here in his new role. For some reason, I kind of like it. What have been your impressions of him?
I think he's done a good job so far. I think he's been open-minded toward things, and that to me is what I want out of a commissioner. I want somebody who's willing to embrace his sports history while acknowledging that progress is necessary. And whether it is speeding up the game, whether it's getting youth involved, there are a lot of different areas in which baseball can improve, and I think he's done a good job of identifying them. Now, the question is, can he execute on them? And that's the difficult part, obviously. We can all sit here and say, this is a problem, but only the great ones can say, this is a problem and fix it.
All right, let's get into the tribe a little bit. We're talking with Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, national baseball writer. Love when we can catch up with him. All of these preseason thoughts and aspirations for the Indians. A lot of people feeling like they are the team to beat in the American League, maybe just a trendy pick. Jeff, where do you stand when it comes to the Indians? Cleveland blew up last week when the Indians ended up on the cover of Sports Illustrated because of the whole Corey Snyder, Joe Carter situation back in 87 when they were picked. They lost 101 games. Where do you stand on some of this preseason? I don't know if it's hype or just the feelings about the tribe going into this year.
Well, I think it's warranted. And look, I'm picking the Indians to win the American League Central. It kind of bums me out a little bit that they've become this trendy pick, because during the offseason, when I was as bullish on them as I've been, I thought, boy, you know, it's going to be nice to make a pick and look smart at the end of the season when you're the only guy who did it. It turns out everybody is picking the Indians right now. So, look, they're doing it for one reason, and that's their pitching. Their rotation has a chance to be really good. And even if you have an injury, you've got some depth with Danny Salazar going to the minor leagues to start off the season. They've got a very strong, hard-throwing bullpen. And they've got a manager who knows how to use both of those things and a pitching coach in Mickey Callaway who embraces that. They're a smart organization. And I think the fact that the Indians are being as progressive as they are with how they handle pitchers is going to be something that shows itself not just this year, but in the years going forward. The big question with them right now is, can they hit enough? And I think they can, because offense, frankly, around baseball is down to the point where the Indians have enough. They don't have a surplus of it by any means, but they've got enough right now. I think when Francisco Lindor's inevitable arrival comes at some point, that's only going to add to it.
Jeff, people listening right now have to love hearing that from you. I mean, I respect you a ton. I think you're one of the best in the business. And there's a lot of people who, you know, national people, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, a lot of people who feel the same way you do. With me, and I don't know if this is just being the Cleveland of me, there's just a part of me that looks at this starting rotation after Corey Kluber, when I see guys like Carrasco, Bauer, now TJ House and Zach McAllister, all of them have tremendous talent. There's no doubt about it. But I think there's a part of me that's a little bit hesitant because none of them have ever done it over the course of a 162-game season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not only do I know what you mean, I think it's a very legitimate point. You know, there's a lot of speculation that's going on with the Indians and a lot of buying into things that we haven't seen yet. But Carlos Carrasco went out in the second half last season particularly and looked like a legitimate number two starter. And Trevor Bauer, you know, throw out the three home run inning, throw out the four triple inning. Let's focus on what he was focusing on, which is commanding the pitches that he wants to throw for strikes. And I believe he still has an issue to walk this spring. Not positive, but I know as of recently that was the case. And so I expect him to take a leap forward too. TJ House, a solid lefty who gets ground balls. And Zach McAllister, you know, back-end guy who's going to eat up innings. But if you can have three starters, the potential caliber of Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, you have a chance to be really good.
And, Jeff, I think a lot of teams in baseball, it comes down to pitching, it comes down to health. I mean, do you find, because you're covering all 30 teams now, do you find that other clubs have a lot of the same question marks? And, you know, if this goes well, if this goes well. I mean, when you go around baseball, everybody has their question marks is my point, right?
You know how many great teams there are in baseball right now? No, I'm serious. Answer that question. How many great teams are there in baseball?
Three or four.
I think there's one.
One?
And I think it's the Washington Nationals. I think okay. They are the only great team in baseball right now. Baseball is a morass of I'm not going to call it mediocrity, but average to above average teams right now. The American League does not have a great team right now.
Right.
And it is so wide open that I think every team absolutely has its flaws, or at least has something where you look at them and say, okay, this is going to be a problem, or this could be an issue. So the Indians are not by any means unique there. I think that they're a lot more like other teams than people necessarily want to believe. And because you have that middle ground there, I don't think you're going to have a bunch of great teams going out and winning 90-something plus games this season. I think you're going to see teams win divisions of 87 and 88 and 89 wins.
I think it's a great point by you. I will say this, though. The Central Division in the American League, and you've picked the Indians, but it to me it appears a little bit wide open because so many teams seem to get better over the offseason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Chicago White Sox are the perfect example of that. They have a chance to be very good this year. You know, they've got a kid in Carlos Rodon who's going to be starting in the minor leagues this year but is expected to contribute at some point in the near future. They've got Jeff Samardzija coming in, David Robertson at the back end. I mean, there's definitely a lot of talent on that White Sox team. And when you see that talent, and know that they've got Jose Abreu there already, and that they've got Chris Sale there. I mean, there's potential for them, really, to jump from toward the bottom of this division all the way up to the top. And that to me tells you everything right there about the American League Central. Not just going to be the Indians. It's going to be the Tigers or the Stalwarts, and who I have actually going to the World Series out of the American League as a wild card this year. It's going to be the White Sox. And, oh, let's not forget about the team that last year ended up going to the World Series in the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, it's crazy how much improved this division is. All right, last thing I'll leave you with, and we really appreciate the time, because you were tweeting about this today, Chris Bryant, the Chicago Cubs, highly touted prospect. He is going to start the year at AAA for the Cubs, much to the dismay of his agent, Scott Boras. But we see the Indians with a kid like Francisco Lindor being down at AAA Columbus before the season gets started. From what I could develop from you, and I know you'll hit me over the head as you have before if I get this wrong, but does the system, is it broke right now? The system that why these teams are sending them down to try and keep control over them?
Look, ultimately, let's be honest. You want the best players on the teams on opening day. It's not always going to be that way. I mean, I'd say Francisco Lindor is probably one of the Indians' 25 best players right now. He's not going to be there, though, and a large part of that is service time consideration. I mean, we look at what the incentives are. And for a team like the Cleveland Indians, the incentives are rather simple. You want to have years. You want to have control. And you want to have cost effectiveness. And if you can keep Francisco Lindor down until the middle of the season, call him up after the Super 2 cutoff and save a year of arbitration and ultimately about $10 million, you're probably going to want to do that. And fans don't like hearing that. And look, I don't blame them for that one bit. You know, it stinks, but it's also a reality. And it's a reality, I think, with which fans shouldn't be presented. Baseball and the union have to come up with something in the next collective bargaining agreement to make sure something like this doesn't happen, because it really, truly is unfortunate that Chris Bryant, the guy who's had an otherworldly spring, is going to be starting the year in Iowa instead of Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jeff, listen, we really appreciate the time. It's always fun bringing you back to Northeast Ohio in some shape or form here on the radio. And it's fun catching up with you, and I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, national baseball writer, one of the best in the biz, a Northeast Ohio native, grew up on the east side in Solon. Great guy. Always fun to catch up with him. A lot of insight everywhere, not only with the Indians, but all throughout Major League Baseball. Love catching up with him. When we come back, some roster moves today for the Indians and yesterday. We'll explain all of those to you. We may even hear from Indians manager Terry Francona. We're still going to catch up with Joel Hammond, who's with the Cleveland Indians, and tell us about some exciting things coming up with opening day. Not the one a week from today, the home opener on April 10th against the Detroit Tigers. So keep things locked right here. It's the final edition of Indian Spring Training Weekly. Nick Camino here with you all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indian Spring Training Weekly on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, just past the halfway point here on Indian Spring Training Weekly. We've been saying it all show, but a week from tonight, the Tribe will be opening up the 2015 season in Houston at Minute Maid Park. It's a three-game weekday series against the Astros. Following that, the Indians will come home to open up their newly renovated Progressive Field against the Detroit Tigers. That'll be on April 10th. Should be so much fun. This is our final edition of the program, Indian Spring Training Weekly. At the beginning of the offseason, it was the Hot Stove Show. So since the regular season is coming up, we won't have this show. But it's been a blast. So many people to thank in making this show go every week. It's been great to bring you your baseball fix. We'll be back once the 2015 season wraps up. This is always fun to do. Always have an opportunity to talk a little baseball during the off season and during spring training. It's fun to bring that to you. Hey, special thanks to Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, national baseball writer. Just joined us last segment. One of the best in the biz. Love when we can catch up with him. Another national guy high on the Tribe. He said he's picking the Indians to win the AL Central. So much hype around this team, which is a good thing. A lot of positive feelings from national baseball writers, national experts, national publications. That's great. It's good to see. It's fun. It's going to make this upcoming season that much more fun. All right, some Tribe news to run down, and there was even more today. A lot of it came down yesterday, though. We'll briefly hear from Terry Francona as much as we can. We're kind of up against it with time and stuff tonight. But quick rundown from Tribe Camp. The Indians' starting pitching rotation has been set. They finalized that yesterday morning. The final two spots in the rotation went to Zach McAllister and TJ House. House will be the fifth spot. He'll be in that fifth spot to start the year. McAllister will start the home opener, the fifth game, the home opener, the fourth game of the season against the Tigers. So the Tribe's rotation will go like this: Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, Zach McAllister, and TJ House. The Indians will have Danny Salazar, Josh Tomlin, Bruce Chen, and Sean Markham all at AAA Columbus. That's some good starting pitching depth. That's good to have. And Anthony Swarzak has made the Indians' bullpen. Sounds like there's one spot left to get figured out for the 25-man roster. In fact, manager Terry Francona talked about that earlier today with the media in Goodyear, Arizona, home of Indian spring training. Let's hear from the Tribe skipper. He'll give us an update on everything that's been going on from Tribe camp.
Do you have a chance to talk to Sands and Aguilar today?
Yes. Jerry Sands, we told him he's not making the team. We're going to keep him in camp with us. We thought he did a really good job in camp. You know, he came in coming off of that wrist, and we tried to balance that a little bit, but I thought he did such a good job that it really never got in the way. And we'd like to see him go to AAA and get some at-bats, because I think he can be a guy that when he's hot, he can be a kind of a force, and not just in AAA, but it'll be good for him to get some steady at-bats and some consistent at-bats. And, you know, we'll move him from left to right to first and just let him get his legs under him there and play a little bit. We talked to Aguilar and Martinez and told them that the same thing with Austin Adams. Those three are in line for the last spot in the club. And we just don't know yet which way makes the most sense. So we kind of told them that. You know, Aguilar's had a real good spring. Pretty potent right-handed bat. You know, saying that, you know, is there at bats for him the first couple weeks? And are we doing him a disservice? Those are things we got to think about. You know, Martinez is a guy that maybe can pinch run, maybe impact the game that way. Austin Adams is certainly, you know, again, another arm that always is welcome. So we're just trying to see what makes sense. And since we don't quite know yet, and it also leaves the door open, we've all seen, you know, the waiver wires getting pretty active now as teams are trying to slide guys through at the end. So if we have an opening, maybe who knows, maybe we acquire a player that makes sense. That's probably a long shot, but so we told the players that, and we told them we'd communicate with them as much as we, but they've all had good camps, and we wanted them to know that, you know, there's, even though it's still unknown, that they're still in the running to make the club, because we think that's a pretty big compliment.
Okay, so that's Indians manager Terry Francona. You heard him. One spot open on the 25-man roster right now. They've figured out the first 24 spots. The rotation is set. The bullpen is pretty much set. Three names in the running for one final spot on this team. Austin Adams, a pitcher. They might take an extra bullpen guy. If not, they've got Jesus Aguilar, a slugging first baseman. And they've also got utility infielder Michael Martinez. He's kind of a versatile guy, too. So there's three names for you. So we'll see what's going to happen with that spot this final week of spring training. Always fun to hear from Indians manager Terry Francona from Goodyear, Arizona, to kind of get us up to date on what's going on in Tribe Camp. All right, when we come back here on Indian Spring Training Weekly, we will catch up with Joel Hammond. He's with the Indians Communications Department in PR. He does a lot with social media on Twitter, with the Indians official Twitter account, @Indians. A lot of cool things going on for them as the 2015 season is ready to get started a week from tonight in Houston. And then a week from Friday, it's the home opener down at Progressive Field, the newly renovated Progressive Field. Stay right there. Nick Camino here with you. You're listening to the final edition of Indian Spring Training Weekly, all along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
Total Tribe coverage continues with Indian Spring Training Weekly on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Here again is Nick Camino.
All right, before we get out of here for the night, our final edition of Indian Spring Training Weekly, as we've been saying the entire show, a week from tonight, the Indians will be playing their first game in Houston at Minute Maid Park against the Houston Astros, and then a week from Friday, the Indians will have their home opener against the Detroit Tigers at newly renovated Progressive Field. All of our countdowns are going. They're coming to an end, which is awesome. We're now joined by Joel Hammond, who works with the Cleveland Indians Communications Department, does a lot with PR and social media for the Tribe. You can follow them on Twitter, at Indians. And, boy, they've been having some fun on there today. But let's welcome in Joel first. Joel, listen, we really appreciate the time.
Hi, Nick. Thank you. Yeah, like you said, it's hard to imagine that the offseason is finally over, and a good thing to imagine, too.
Yeah, I can't wait for the games to just finally get underway. Let's get into what you guys have had going on a lot, especially even today. This Indians mean tweets, basically what you guys were able to do in a video form, and I know people can check it out at Indians.com or on any links that you guys put on Twitter at Indians, but basically, you guys were able to grab and get a ton of sort of negative tweets toward the Indians and some of the specific players that play for the club, and they read them back, and they were priceless, these reactions. Can you kind of explain it, maybe a little bit more and the idea behind all this?
Yeah, what a great response to this today. So, look, Twitter and social media are a great way for us to connect with our fans, to study our fans, who's with us, who our fans are, right? It's a great way to interact with them, catch the pulse of the team. But as you know, Nick, and let's be honest, it can also be somewhat of a negative place from time to time. And so we asked our guys to participate in this. Jimmy Kimmel has done this for a long time, asking celebrities and musicians and this sort of thing to read negative tweets about them. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So we figured we ever had a chance to do this, let's do it. Well, last week, as you know, Sports Illustrated put us on their cover to win the World Series. And, you know, just typical Cleveland, the response was, oh, my God, we're done for. We're done for. So we thought it was a good time to maybe sell our guys on participating in something like this, seeing some of the negativity that came out of that. And the response has been brilliant. You know, it's been just a great day. Kipnis and Carlos Santana playing the guitar and, you know, Rosie putting somebody to sleep and Matt Underwood eating Lucky Charms while watching SpongeBob. Just a lot of great response today. And really, I think it shows that our players, you know, we always are trying to show that our players are human beings off the field. You know what I mean? That they like to have fun, that they have senses of humor. And I think this is another way that we can do that.
Well, listen, I've always said this. I think you guys do a great job on social media, and I know you're behind a lot of it. You don't take full credit for it because it is a team organization. It's a group. But you do a great job with it. And I think when it comes to this kind of stuff, you're ahead of the curve. I think there's a lot of teams that are doing a great job, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, that are doing a good job engaging fans. But you guys almost – I don't want to say laugh at yourself, but you have some fun with it, where I think a lot of people can relate to that. And out of that, I think you get a lot of respect from the community.
Yeah, I think so, too. And there are certainly times for it and times that it doesn't work as much. But the off season is a good time to sort of have fun with our fans. And our fans, to their credit, you know, have sort of picked up on this negativity that, you know, heck, we won the fourth most games in the AL over the last 2 years. And, you know, we won 85 games last year and contended the last weekend of the season. And this year we've got a lot of positive publicity off the field from national media outlets. And, you know, sometimes it seems that a lot of what people want to talk about is the negative. And we, you know, we're excited about the year, and we like to poke fun at ourselves and from time to time poke a little fun at our fans. And like I said, today, to our fans' credit, they've had fun with it too, and nobody's gotten too mad about it. So really just a fun video and a good thing to do in the off season when nobody's too high strung or anything like that. It just, again, really our number one goal with it was to show that our players just aren't baseball players. They have senses of humor. They're good guys. They're funny guys. And we think we pulled it off, I think.
Yeah, go check it out. It's on the Indians Twitter account, at Indians. Indians mean tweets, or it's on their website at Indians.com. And I think, as you know, Joel, even in the radio business, I think a lot of times you hear from the minority, which is sometimes the negative people, and you know the majority is usually a positive feel, whether it's the Indians or a radio show or whatever, but it just sometimes seems that you hear from the minority a little bit more. I think the overall feeling for you guys is positive. You have a guy like Terry Francona who's been here, that you guys have strung together back-to-back winning seasons for the first time since 2000-2001. I think the Sports Illustrated thing was great. That 87 thing happened years ago. I mean, I think the overall feeling is positive about the Cleveland Indians and ready for this season. But we do tend to hear from some of the negative people, but I think that they're definitely in the minority.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, like you said, the folks that are hung up on certain things that have happened in the past are probably the vocal minority. And we're certainly seeing a lot of positive trends, obviously with national media attention and on the field, of course, you know, and among our fans too. So we can't wait to get the season started for sure.
All right, we're talking with Joel Hammond. He's with the Cleveland Indians Communications Department, does a lot with PR, social media for the Tribe. You can follow them on Twitter, @Indians. Joel does a great job, and he's been great in joining us on the spring training shows and the hot stove shows throughout the offseason. This is our final show all along the Cleveland Indians radio network. We like doing this. All right, renovations. They've been the big story all offseason, and they are going to be unveiled for the home opener against the Detroit Tigers on April 10th. But can you tell us how this project has gone? And it sounds like things are going to be ready for opening day, right?
Yeah, you know, I just spent a lot of time up in right field today with another media outlet actually preparing for opening day. So we were doing some walkthroughs and some filming and stuff like that, and they are coming along nicely. We've said all along that as long as that sub-zero temperature spell didn't last any longer than it did, that we'd be okay, and it sure looks like we're going to be okay. Center field is mostly finished up as far as concrete laying. We'll be able to finish that up, it looks like, late this week, early next week. They actually just hung up the sign for the kids' clubhouse. I spent some time in the kids' clubhouse today. The two-story slide is up. The turf is laid. Some interactive stuff is being installed. I was in the bar today. The bar is looking fantastic. They just actually hung the sign for the corner today, which is the name of the new bar.
That's great.
That's up now. The Fox Sports Time Ohio studio, which is adjacent to the bar, they'll do pregame from there live. That is being installed as we speak. The upper deck in right field, which folks have probably noticed if they've come by gate A and the home run porch, it's coming along. Those are the new group areas up in the upper deck in right field with our retired numbers on them and some pennants up there for our division titles and that sort of thing. Those are coming along nicely. So we are actually hoping and tentatively planning a kind of an open house, a media open house for
media,
next Monday, a week from today. So we haven't quite hit go on that yet. We're waiting for final approval here probably mid this week. So we're excited. They look great, Nick. I can't tell fans, you know, people think, you know, I'm the PR guy. I can't tell people how excited and how great the new bar is going to be. It's two stories. There's a fire pit on the second story. We have 40 beers on tap. We have an interactive beer wall you can get. I think it's called like the corner pass for where you prepay and then you go up to this wall and you tell them how many ounces you want in your glass and it just pours it for you. Things like that.
I like it.
I can't be more excited about the bar and the new kids club for our families. We're excited about it. And again, it sounds like everything will be A-okay by April 10th at 4 p.m. We might be painting and finishing up on April 10th in the morning. But by the time those gates open on April 10th, we'll be ready to go.
That sounds good. Everybody really excited about the renovations going on, the generations of fans that will be able to enjoy some of the new perks that you guys have down at the ballpark. Cannot wait to see it. I know you guys are always working ahead. You know, when it was the Tribe Fest situation, you guys were working ahead for that. With the renovations, you've always been working ahead. I don't like to put you on the hot seat here, Joel, but I'm going to ask you, do you have any projects that are coming up that you would like to share with us or that you can share a little bit of maybe what's going to be coming up for Indians fans?
Yeah, so we've got a couple things coming up before opening day. So on Wednesday, I can't tell you quite who yet, but on Wednesday we'll be announcing who will be throwing the first pitch and who will be performing the anthem on opening day. So that's always exciting. It'll be a little low key this year with the names, but it'll be a fun surprise for fans that are at the ballpark on opening day. And actually Wednesday we won't give away the whole story on opening day, but people can sort of read between the lines there. Thursday we will be sort of showing off this new. We have a new KeyBank sign going up on the late standards along the first base line, so that will be finished or at least near completion on Thursday. Monday, again, like I said, we're hoping to open up the ballpark to media to kind of show off the renovations, completed renovations. And then next Wednesday, we have something new coming to the Terrace Club that I can't quite get into, but
okay.
It involves one of our all-time greatest players in franchise history, whose museum may have closed this winter, in his hometown. So we'll be announcing that next week and kind of showing that off to media as well. So busy before opening day, no doubt. But a very exciting time, and can't wait for next Friday.
Hey, Joel, listen, we always appreciate the time. I know at some point I'll be catching up with you once the season gets underway, but we always appreciate the time you can give us here all along the Cleveland Indians radio network, whether it was the Hot Stove Show or the Spring Training Show. This is our last edition, so we always appreciate it, and thanks so much.
No problem, Nick. See you on opening day.
All right, that is Joel Hammond. He is with the Indians Communications Department, does a lot of PR, social media for the Tribe. Always fun to catch up with him, and guess what? That's going to do it for us. Yeah, our final edition of Indians Spring Training Weekly. The season opens up a week from today in Houston against the Astros. Everybody have a great rest of your night and a great rest of your week. Nick Camino signing off for the last time for a little while. All along the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Let's get this season underway.
Ball game.